Hey, just like we said, this is Stunker in the Audio 940.5 or 941 or 941.5. Kevin doesn't know we're doing this. I'm Jeremy. That's Chris. And we're back, just like we said we would be at the end of 940. So, of course, during WrestleMania... Oh, you're supposed to say hi. I'm sorry. I didn't pause.
Hey, everybody. Okay. Long time no talk.
Yeah. So, a lot of news actually happened in between... Well, before we decided to do the show... enough news that we deemed it necessary to talk about it. So, okay, on a small scale, we'll save the headliner for last for a change. On a small scale, AEW actually made roster cuts. Just outright cut people. They're free agents immediately. Did you see these?
Yeah, I've seen them.
All right. No one really, like, oh my God, they cut them. You know what I mean?
Right, no.
But it's also kind of weird.
No.
They don't usually just cut people. They let their contract expire.
No, they haven't. And Tony Khan has outright said that he would never do this.
Yeah, so...
That's the key of this. I mean, for God's sakes, there was no one more useless on either company's roster than Jose the Assistant.
Okay, when they said Jose the Assistant... I thought they meant Alex Alejandre. And I'm like, why is he still there?
Now he is the most useless person on either roster.
Yeah, it's like, unless he does stuff backstage.
I think he still does some Spanish commentary.
Okay, then that's that acceptable. Nature. And you know what? That's where he needs to be. Anyways.
Yes, yes.
So I'm going to do this off the top of my head. It was Parker Boudreau, who I forgot was there. Slim J, which... Was he part of Special K from, like, the 90s and early 2000s?
I don't remember. I don't know. I wasn't really following RX like that.
I do believe that's who that was. Well, her name was Dasha Fuentes in WWE. I can't remember what her name was now, but she got released. That one surprised me because she was, like, the backstage woman, but she was also, I believe, doing some Spanish commentary.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a surprise. But again, Stu Grayson, who they just re-signed a year ago, I believe he got hurt. So I don't know if he's been back because we don't watch Ring of Honor. If he's hurt and they cut him, that's kind of bullshit.
I don't know. I don't know how much he was hurt. I know there's one coming up that was definitely hurt. But there's extenuating circumstances of that.
Yeah. Now, Anthony Henry's another one.
He was hurt, but the injury took place at an independent show. Well, if that matters.
See, to me, it doesn't matter because, well, I don't know.
Once again, Tony Khan has sold himself for the last 5 years on that he is going to run his business honorably. He would never do this.
Yeah.
That's the issue with all of this.
Yeah, and I know there were others, but okay. But yeah,
you can do whatever scummy thing they want because no one expects better of them. Tony Khan sold himself as better.
Oh.
I mean, any idiot could have told him, you don't say out loud that you will never release people without cause to cut costs.
Well, there's a lot he shouldn't say out loud or tweet out loud, too.
Right, of course.
So, you know, hey, if for all of Vince's faults, he never went on a Twitter rant. He never went on Twitter rants. He just did other horrible things. Maybe he should have just gone on Twitter rants.
And ranted in front of Bob Costas and HBO people. Yeah, things like that.
Instead of stiff arming,
he did his rants in person at least.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, you know, could have been doing that instead of coercing allegedly your girlfriend allegedly to write you plagiarized love letters. Which, by the way, how can you plagiarize a love letter if you're like you're just taking lines from movies?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not really plagiarism. He didn't turn it in to make money.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's not plagiarism, but not, you could tell there was not an ounce of feeling in those.
Well,
you could tell it felt like, I know ChatGPT, I don't think ChatGPT existed to that level in 2021 when supposedly when these were written. Well, but there's... it read like something. It felt like maybe it was some primitive AI that actually wrote that.
Yeah. Also, it was also done with fear. That would be the emotion.
Absolutely. Yes.
So, anyways, just Vince McMahon news, real quick. Look it up. So, anyways, but like these roster cuts don't matter in the long run. You know, it's like it's just kind of sour. Because you see, yeah. Like, they still have, and, like, Anthony Henry was actually, and I'm not exaggerating, he was a prominent part of the product with him and, oh, no, why did I just lose his name? James Drake, right?
JD Drake, yeah.
As the workhorseman, because they're from around here. So, like, they wrestle all over around here when the local scene was bigger. But they always put them in the ring with people. They were always on TV. They were like the jobber du jour.
They even got a Sting match, for God's sakes.
Exactly. And
one of Sting's last 5 matches ever.
Yeah.
Was against JD Drake and Anthony Henry.
So, but they kept Drake and let Henry go. What? Okay. That's sure. But, you know, I don't want anyone not making money. So I'm not making light of any of this stuff by saying that. But it's also like, all right, so he lets these people go, and then so what other masked luchador are you going to sign and not put on TV in the meantime? Or is this like they finally, is he finally like, hey, this roster's too big, so instead of making real financial cuts, we're going to let a bunch of the lower level people go and continue to pay people more money and just not use them? I don't understand why these cuts had to be made. These people could not have been getting paid a significant amount of money.
No. It really feels like it means nothing to the bottom line, yeah.
Yeah. It's like just cuts to be like, and it's just ironic. There's an irony there to where, you know, Eric Bischoff was calling him out, whatever. It's just what happened. And then the same day, Punk is talking about how Tony Khan's not a boss. That he decides, well, time to make cuts. Now, these are probably in the works, I'm sure, but at least I would hope these were in the works and not some knee-jerk reaction, because Tony Khan's been kind of known to be a knee-jerk reaction sort of guy. To just go, all right, we don't need these people now. See, I'm a boss. All right. Just, like you said, behavior not expected of him. And then we did have the Vince McMahon news where his lawyers are fighting, saying that this lady sent a love letter to Vince McMahon. Her lawyer said no, it was coerced. This won't go away. And then apparently the lawyer Vince is using is the same one that, worked the MLW case for Court Bauer.
Yeah.
So, I guess Vince saw something in her, or her. It's a her, right? I believe this is two female lawyers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, very strange. And it's just like the Vince stuff, just go away. Just go away. But, was there anything else newsworthy that I'm forgetting besides the obvious?
No, not really, no.
All right. Well, I know like Endeavor got bought out by... Oh, no, I forgot their name. So they're taking that company private, I guess.
Yeah.
But TKO remains its own. So I don't pretend to know how that business stuff works. Because it's all.
I don't pretend to know. I work in sales where a lot of our clients are private equity, but I be honest, I don't totally understand it all. This could have far-reaching effects that we don't realize right now. Or it could mean nothing. I don't think it means nothing.
Yeah, I don't think it means anything. I I mean, it is weird. Vince sold another, what, $100 million worth of stocks? So maybe like, hey, what's this guy doing? I don't know. But I guess they're taking the company. I guess they're taking Endeavor private now or something.
Yeah.
So you don't. We're not going to get any financials unless they want to release it. Trust me, being in a company that went through that, you don't find out anything. So I'll leave it at that. Yeah, then we had the media rounds yesterday. And, you know, there's something to be said for not doing a lot of interviews. Well, all right, before we get to that, let me talk about this real fast. And I won't give any spoilers away, even though we all know, unfortunately, how it ends. That Bray Wyatt documentary, Immortal, Wyndham Rotunda Immortal, I think it was. It's not so much a comprehensive look at his in-ring feuds. I mean, it's always about the creative side of him. And, I mean, they don't talk about the Shield. They don't talk about, like, any of the matches until, like, the Fiend stuff. And they kind of get into that because that's where things start falling apart. Like, you know, it's a documentary. So everything goes up, comes down, and unfortunately this one comes back up and it crashes to the ground. And I was telling you and Kevin, and for anyone who's watched it, I'd love to know the same feeling. They actually have, like, his family and JoJo recounting, like, the day he passed. And, like, giving, like, personal details of what happened. So you already know what's coming. Obviously. And because, boy, if you didn't, oh, boy. If it's like, I always wondered if there would be, like, some Peacock viewer, like, oh, what's this about? Like, they don't really know anything about wrestling. Because it does hook you. I mean, that guy had something. And just seeing, like, JoJo, Taylor, his brother, I almost said Luke Harper. they do cover that real quick. Bo Dallas, excuse me. His sister, his dad, Mike Rotunda. Sami Zayn's in it, talking about it. Randy Orton's talking about it, too. And that's what really kind of gets it, because you see, like, Randy, like, pausing. And, you know, Randy's got that reputation where he doesn't, he's stoic, you know? Or whatever you would like to call that. So you see that and you're like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And yeah, it's brutal. And for the last 15, 20 minutes, and they, I'm sorry, less 45 minutes, really. And then they try to pull it out by giving you a happy ending with, like, showing his children. And then the children start talking about their dad, and it's like, oh, come on. That's what I told you guys. It's just gut punches, gut punches, gut punches. And then they do, like, the Bugs Bunny or cartoon thing, like, twirling your fist. And you're just waiting for it. And then it happens again at the end. They show, like, the final form of the Fiend. There's going to be one last version. And then there's, oddly, something at the end of the credits. So, I'll just leave it at that. But I thought it was really good outside of putting Ric Flair in there for no reason. You can tell it's just generic terms. He's not even talking about him. You can just tell. And it's like, why? Like, why is he in this? So, but it's well worth it. Just get the hankies, dude. I'm unashamed. Like, yeah, it got emotional at the end. Like, Jesus Christ. Especially because they kept showing his kids and they kept saying how old he was. And as someone who's much older than he was, it's like, God damn, my time is short. So the same day I watched that, the same day we all watched CM Punk on Ariel Helwani's show. Outside, I mean, we'll get into what he talked about. Were you surprised at what he talked about? Like, if this was a Vince WWE, that never happens, right?
Oh, no. He's not going on this show. or Ariel's under orders not to go where he wants. But yeah, no, Ariel asked he, you know what, he asked all the right questions, and I guess, you know, Punk decided to be Punk.
It was funny watching it, because I was just kind of like in shock for a while, like, all right, so he's doing this, and then he's asking about like coming back and all this, and he goes, so if you don't mind me asking, it was like, well, obviously I'm going to mind, but you're going to ask it anyways. And he just went into all the AEW stuff. And I was just perplexed. Like, one, we'd always heard there was like an NDA, but he was also asking stuff that wasn't part of it. And
yeah, there is no NDA over Wembley.
Yeah, and apparently, according to Punk, the NDA doesn't cover that much. He just doesn't want to talk about it. His words.
He's well, like, no. The NDA, from my understanding, covers Brawl Out.
Oh, yeah. Well, but even then, he said, it covers so much, but I just don't want to talk about it. And then he also said, well, can you never talk about it? He goes, I mean, I can eventually, but who cares then? So apparently there is an expiration on it.
Well, I don't know if I just feel like he didn't really know.
Oh, okay.
No. The key line was, there's not an NDA for anything I did.
Yeah. that's true. I did forget about that.
And okay. Then he just threw something out, something about his dog. Like, did the Young Bucks super kick his dog? What happened?
I think you said it. Like, this was like CM Punk was doing kind of, it almost seemed not a hatchet job, that's far too strong. He got his kicks in again. And part of it, you could see, and he even said in it, yeah, I'm getting worked up again. And he was definitely getting some kicks in by being vague. And whether he wanted to be vague or if he just, you know, he had to be, you know, that was the fascinating part to me, was watching him. He was pretty smug at times, which is just, I guess, kind of his character, you know, like as a person. I don't know. I've never met him. So just the stuff he's talking about, like he wouldn't commit. He wouldn't even commit to like saying if AJ was going to come back or not. Even though he keeps dropping her name, he's like, you know, I want her to, but who knows? So, so what'd you take away from this? What was your overall impression? I'm curious. Because I know you're not the biggest Ariel Helwani fan.
I have no opinion of Ariel Helwani whatsoever, really. I really don't. I'm not a big MMA guy, so I don't really have any reason to listen to his show or anything he's on, unless he's talking to a wrestler.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And the interview, becomes interesting, because it could be a total fluff piece, and I have no interest in listening to total fluff pieces.
Yeah.
So, but no, my biggest takeaway is, Punk's gonna be Punk, and he definitely, without having a match scheduled for this weekend, became the talk of the early part of this week. And, you know, the stuff that had my jaw on the ground probably more than anything was him talking about his last, like, moment with Chris Benoit and the kid and the son dressed like Punk, and this was, like, a week before that all happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Punk was already, you know, always going to be linked to the story because he was the opponent that was Benoit was supposed to wrestle that on that pay-per-view. But to that much, that floored me. I mean, he was definitely, of anyone who's, you know, directly associated with WWE, the hardest on Vince.
Yes.
Which isn't surprising that he would be that person. But, you know, he showed no fear of Vince coming back or anyone associated with WWE who might still be loyal to him doing anything to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so that's what, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying that's like kind of like he's bulletproof. And what I mean by that is fire me. Okay. Like he's the definition of fuck you money. Wait, so you're going to fire me? Okay, bye. Later.
That I'm not sure about. I think in his mind he needs the money from this run.
But I mean, he was getting paid by AEW. I mean, he was there long enough to collect a pretty decent check.
That's true, yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's kind of like he kept saying he wanted to come home. It was funny because the day that this Helwani thing came out was also him and Randy Orton supposed to be talking about their match at WrestleMania 27. I don't know if you
watched. I haven't watched it all.
They barely talk about the match. It's just the two of them catching up and talking about the past. And there's some funny stuff in there.
I imagine they talk about how back in the day they didn't like each other at all.
Well, Randy Orton says, "Yeah, we hated each other." And Punk goes, "I didn't hate you." He was like, "Well," he's like, "No." And Punk goes, "Hate's a strong word." I don't know, was it Orton? One of the two. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, that's true." He's like, "So Orton actually tells the story of him burying CM Punk to Arn Anderson, and how Punk came around the corner." And apparently, Randy had denied doing that. That he was telling Arn something else. And Punk goes back, "I see you," like, you know, Punk explains that everything's going on, and Randy goes, "Yeah, yeah. So like I'm sitting there burying you to Arn Anderson. You come walking around the corner." And Punk's like, "I knew it." And he's like, "Yeah, I didn't expect to see you. I didn't expect you to walk by when I'm burying you to somebody." And Punk just starts laughing, like, I knew that's what you were doing. And it's like, these guys are just laughing about it now. It's so bizarre. And because they're just talking about how they're old, and it ends with Randy Orton going, "All right, let's go lead the locker room." And Punk just starts laughing. And that's how it ends. But they barely talk about the match. But they do, sort of. But anyways, but it was funny. That got released the same day this interview came out. So, yeah, the Chris Benoit stuff really got me. I was like, damn, I didn't realize. I guess it's always funny to find out what wrestlers are friends. But then Punk also did establish, like, you know, I'm not here to make friends, but I end up making friends with the people that we make money with. Interesting way of looking at it. So you talk about that. God damn, I lost. Oh, the Vince stuff cracked me up. Because it's a very honest, and like, I had the same reaction. He goes, "What kind of dumbass?" Like, I was just surprised what a dumbass he was with the paper trail he left. Like, that's a very honest thing to say. Like, Vince McMahon's so meticulous about everything. So, you know, this and this. But he's so smug that he didn't even think, "Oh, all these text messages can be used against me." You know, stuff like that. And then I loved how Vince saw him working out. And then he goes, "Yeah, we need to catch up." And he goes, "Did you ever see him?" He's like, "Never saw him again. Never talked to him again." And I was like, why was Vince at the gym then? But I forgot he was on the board, so he was allowed to be around. So, you know, that stuck out. And then really, it was really a lot about the AEW stuff. For me, some of the funnier parts has nothing to do with the interview, but the way people reacted. You know, Meltzer obviously was like defensive, but also gave him credit. I was listening to Observer Radio today, and Brian Alvarez is talking about CM Punk bragging about how he didn't take Hangman Page down, how he only choked, you know, Jungle Boy a little bit. And it's like, if you watch the interview, Punk is clearly being a smartass. Like, he knew what he did was wrong. But he's like, did what I did. So it's like, it's funny when people are in the crosshairs how they get defensive and don't see the reality of the situation. But you could see Punk and some of that stuff was like kind of smug. Like, Yeah, I didn't punch him. I just choked him a little bit. Like, all right, like little, like basically call him a little pussy boy, basically. So, and Punk did try coming off like a tough guy, like, you know, I'll end it the way I want to.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, he kind of did. So, but yeah, it's just on WrestleMania week.
But
Oh, go ahead.
one of the keys is in CM Punk's version of the story, he never verbally threatened or made any threatening motion towards Tony Khan.
Yeah.
And that is supposed that's supposedly what gave them the cause to Germany on this go around.
Yeah, because when Tony Khan said he was like fearful for his life and all that stuff, right? Was that this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if Punk's version of the story is correct, then Tony Khan had no reason to feel that way for his own safety. But I don't know. Now, I guess Punk threw down the gauntlet for Tony Khan to take legal action if, or have to tell his side of the story once and for all.
Which yeah, I don't think it's gonna happen unless he writes a book someday.
I don't think so either.
It's like if just pull not the bigger man, but pull the Vince and just ignore it. Because all you're gonna do is make people go and you know. And again, even Punk was very quick to say this, and very quick to say this. It's all the internet. Regular ass fans have no idea what's going on. Like, regular fans aren't going to watch this interview, probably. You know? So, Tony Khan honestly just probably needs to just be like, all right, whatever, blow it off.
Now, there was that one. Someone's entrance involved a rapper, right? At Wembley.
Yeah,
And the
Dan, it
rapper
was,
was backstage and witnessed this whole thing. Now, he knew nothing about wrestling. He didn't know any of these people's names. But he did describe a situation that was more chaotic and more violent than what CM Punk said. So a witness that has no loyalty to anybody is did come did talk about that, I believe.
well, wasn't he Bryan Danielson's music? Because we didn't know it was a guy. Or was that a different show?
That may have been a different show. I don't
Okay.
remember. Maybe it was Swerve's entrance
Oh, that's true.
at that
There's
show.
another guy on Swerve. Well, yeah, because it was
Well, no,
Swerve
it
and
was once
Darby.
again. Once again, this is purely a musician, a music star. This is not somebody who, or this is not somebody in the business at all. Once again, the guy didn't even know anyone involved's names, but he described the situation definitely more chaotic and more violent than Punk suggested. That's just what I'm saying.
Well, apparently there's also security footage of this. That's what they said. And I'm like, no one's leaked that security footage. And I'm being dead serious. In this
I
day
need
and
it.
age,
I need it.
no one leaked it.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
So.
I once again, it's so there's a lot to this, but once again, I don't know if I don't think it would do AEW any good to peel back that wound again.
Yeah. And like the
They got
other
way too many other problems.
yeah, like there were some times where I think Punk was purposely not telling the truth. I don't think he was lying. I think he purposely was just avoiding stuff to make sure, you know, there isn't not retaliation 'cause that's not going to happen, but so when he was talking about the you know, you're just a blah 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 in a world of counterfeit bucks. That is clearly about the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's not. So it's like, I wonder if he admitted that it was, there could be a problem there. So, there was just so much in here. And to me, like, it became a little long after a while. It was almost 2 hours. I mean, that's long.
Well.
And but Ariel Helwani, to his credit, just kind of sat back. And I know, like, you're supposed to challenge them, but no one else is getting this. So no, I appreciated shutting your mouth and then asking something instead of trying to interrupt. Yeah, the whole, like, I didn't realize, and again, take it with a, you know, grain of salt for truth, I suppose. Like, Punk was like, I quit. This place is a, you're a fucking joke. I quit. Like, that line just cracked me up. I don't know why, because, you know, Tony Khan looks the way he looks, and I just haven't seen Punk just tell him that. And I'm not siding with CM Punk on this because it's obviously just his side of the story, but there's also a part of me that's really siding with CM Punk on this. Like, it kind of validates, in a way, some of the things that we've kind of always assumed. You know, when he was saying, like, CM Punk's not, or I'm sorry, Tony Khan's not a boss, he's too nice of a guy. But isn't that what we've been hearing anyways? Like, guys not, like, he gives him a finish. He goes like, nah, I'm not doing that. Oh, well, go sit your ass at home. Like, you know, that sort of stuff. And also, like, CM Punk even mentioned, like, he just wanted to bury the hatchet. Not bury the hatchet, but, like, yeah, just let's talk and make money off of this. And nothing. Like, missed opportunities. And that's what I, you know, that was to hear that. So, I don't know. It's a captivating listen if you've got the time, that's for sure. And because I don't think we're ever getting this again. Did I lose you?
No. Oh, okay. I'm just listening.
Oh no.
I don't think Punk is going to have another interview like this. I think multiple people are going to make sure that this never happens again.
At least not the week of WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but the more he talks about it, maybe the more amount of trouble he can get into.
Yeah, but isn't it like there wasn't anything? I don't know. To me, it didn't seem like anything inflammatory. It was just his side of things. Yeah, he said some disparaging things, but nothing overly terrible. Like that, the whole Colt Cabana interview, that had some stuff. I mean, he was just accusing WWE of blatantly putting him out there sick and falsifying like med records and all that. You know, all that sort of stuff. This was just his side of things. And as long as it's taken that way, I mean, isn't that like end of story? As I would think. And it's like, all right, can we all move on now? I mean, we, as in, like, you know, people waiting with bated breath. So, any other takeaways you got from it?
No, I think I think we're pretty good here.
All right. Let's see what our little special show did here. Hey, not bad. 30 minutes. I was almost dead on the thing. So, all right. Before we go, this is how this always happens this week. Let me do a quick perusal of news, see if we have any breaking stuff, which I'm sure we don't. Outside of, you know, Otis unfortunately calling EO Leo, which is just really funny still. Just the real reaction of like, oh God, I've been doing that wrong. I don't want to be that guy. Nope, nothing. Yep, nope. Oh, there is an official Wolf Dogs t-shirt. I forgot. Okay. I shouldn't look at this because it's NXT. So anyways, all right, guys. Well, hopefully you enjoyed this little quick news break. And we're going to go. And this time I'll let Chris take us out.
All right, everybody. Enjoy your WrestleMania week. Kevin and Shahid will be at you with their preview. of WrestleMania match by match later this week. If you haven't gotten enough of the Stunt Grady Boys giving you match by match, and then Kevin and Jeremy after that will be giving you the NXT Stand and Deliver rundown. We will be back next. Two of the four of us will be back next Tuesday to recap all the chaos of WrestleMania weekend. The brand account is at Stunt Granny on X. I am at Stunt Cali. He is at Granny Maze, though he never zeets or tweets.
Rare appearance last night, actually.
Very, 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 very rare appearances. You might catch it once in a blue moon. At the Frango 11 for Kevin. And then check us out on iHeartRadio, on Google Music, on Apple Music, on YouTube Music, on Spotify. Basically, check us out on the platform you're checking this show out. So I'm not sure why we even need to do this.
You know, it's a good call. Everyone does it, though. We're just following suit.
You're already listening to the show. But hey, it's tradition. And we will check you out later in the week.
Later, gang.